world tomorrow. Herbert W. Armstrong brings you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
The very first issue of the Plain Truth magazine, which came out with the February issue of 1934, and at that time it was, well, it had the most humble beginning of any magazine that I know. Now, the Plain Truth today has grown to one of the great mass circulation magazines of the whole world. But at that time, it had to start so humbly. A homemade magazine, you might say, just printed on a borrowed mimeograph, about 350 copies, the first issue. I want to read you now the front cover of that magazine. And the lead article is "A World Dictator About to Appear." This is what it said back in 1934. Will it be Mussolini, Stalin, or Roosevelt? Now, they were prominent in the news at that time. Continuing, the Plain Truth said, "Everybody senses that something is wrong with the world, that some mighty event is about to occur. What is it? Bible prophecy tells. Here is a solemn warning, and it is the plain truth. We live today in the most strenuous, anxious, momentous hours of Earth's history." I was writing that back in 1934, in the first issue of the Plain Truth. It continues, "Today we stand in the very threshold of colossal events that will stagger the mind of mortal man. Just now, it is like the law before a great and devastating storm. Everyone senses it." That was, let me repeat again, back in the year of February 1934. Continuing now, there was a subhead, "The Lust for World Power." Ever since the pharaohs ruled in Egypt, on down through ancient Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome, on to Napoleon, and then the Kaiser, which was very recent at the time I wrote this, you know, there has been a lust for power to rule the world. It is commonly known today that Mussolini was then living and at the height of his glory, that Mussolini's whole aim is to restore the ancient Roman Empire in all its former splendor, power, and glory, and Rome did rule the world. Now let me add here that shortly after that, and back at that time, it was announced, it didn't even make front page news, but it was announced in newspapers, and I did announce it on radio at that time before the public, that Mussolini had conquered Ethiopia, that he added Eritrea, Italian Somaliland, and Italy, had made a concordat with the Vatican in Rome, and that he did announce that he had restored the Roman Empire. But it was such an insignificant little restoration of the Roman Empire, as I say, it didn't even make front page news at that time. Now, it's soon going to come up again, and at this time, 50 years later. Now, continuing that issue of the Plain Truth, back in 1934, I said this, "Today, Prime Minister MacDonald," he was in office at that time in England, "of Great Britain, and President Roosevelt," that was Franklin D. Roosevelt, "are striving frantically to avert and to postpone the impending next world war." That was World War II. It had not yet come when I wrote that, but I'd been prophesying it was imminent that it would come. Continuing, "While the nations prepare even more feverishly for war. 3 or 4 short years ago, many laughed and scoffed when I said that there would be another world war in 5 to 7 years. Actually, it did come in 1939, and I was writing this in 1934. It did come 5 years later. "They do not laugh and scoff today everyone knows that the next world war is coming, and soon, every move for peace has failed. Once again, I remind you that was written back in 1934, the first issue of the Plain Truth magazine. The Plain Truth is still announcing events before they happen. The Plain Truth has always been many, many years before its time. It is a world news magazine that not only foretells what is going to happen according to Bible prophecy, but explains the world news and its meaning, beside explaining the Bible and world conditions, home and family conditions, and many other things. Now, why the delay in this, the United States of Europe? It is a resurrection of the medieval Holy Roman Empire. The Holy Roman Empire was started in the year of 554 after the fall of the major ancient Roman Empire. The major ancient Roman Empire was from 31 BC until 476 AD. But at the behest of the Pope at Rome, Justinian, the ruler of the East in Constantinople, was brought to Rome, and he revived what they called the Roman Empire. But it became known as the Holy Roman Empire. And it lasted until after Napoleon in 1814 AD. Now, ever since, the nations in Europe have wanted to reunite. And I've been foretelling it. The Bible foretells it, just as I did foretell World War II. Now I'm foretelling World War III. People scoffed. They didn't believe it then. It happened. Some people may be scoffing today. It will happen. And you can bet your life on that, because you are betting your life on it. Now, why has it not come sooner? Why has it been so long? And I have known it was coming for 50 years now. Well, in Europe, they are divided by different language barriers. There's so many different languages. For example, there is German, English, Spanish, French, Italian, Greek, many different languages. They have various national aspirations that divide them, national patriotisms. And of course, they are always competitive. Then they have various currencies and monetary systems. And all of those things tend to divide them. Now, always in the so-called Holy Roman Empire, the Catholic Church was the sort of cementing agent that cemented the nations together and brought them together religiously, and Bible prophecy says will be once again. The nations cannot get together politically all by themselves. Even religion in Europe has been divided between the Roman Catholic Church in the West and the Eastern Orthodox Catholic Church in the East. They have been absolutely divided, and of course the major point is that the churches in the East, in every ecumenical movement tending toward trying to bring unification once again, they have said that they will not accept the Vatican or the Pope as the head over the Eastern Catholic religion. Well, I can tell you now, the day before I arrived in Athens, and I arrived there from South Africa, I'd been on in South Africa and also in Nairobi, and the day before I arrived there, there had been a meeting of the European Parliament. Now, the European Parliament is merely the political arm that is working for the political unification of Europe, or reunification. One of the great motivating powers that is tending to bring them together now is fear of increased Soviet threats. And they are alarming Europe, believe me. I've been there and I've talked to the men over there. Now, I was in conference with some very high officials in Greece, in Athens, and one, the leader of this group, said, quote, "The peace of the world depends on the unification of Europe, the resurrection of this Holy Roman Empire." That expresses the way they feel over there. The whole peace of the world depends on it. Now, an important leader in Athens said, that the Eastern Orthodox Church is now prepared to accept the headship of the Pope at Rome over both churches if they can get together. Now, the infallibility doctrine of the infallibility of the Pope is still in question. The Eastern Orthodox Church has not yet accepted that. I predict that they will accept it in a matter of a very few months. Now, from there, I went on to Madrid in Spain. And there I had a very fine personal meeting with the King of Spain, Juan Carlos. I had met him before, about 8 years before, and he was glad to see me again. And I can just tell you that he is personally very interested in seeing this United States and Europe get together and emerge. We had quite a talk about it. Now, recently, Pope John Paul II had made a tour into Spain. No pope had ever visited Spain before. It was the first time. But John Paul II did, and he had a very triumphant visit there. And he especially laid great emphasis on the need of the nations of Europe getting together under the Roman Catholic Church, remembering their roots, their heritage, and how religion had bound them together all these years, and that there is no other way they can be together. And so, I can tell you that the Vatican is moving in that direction to do everything possible to bring it about. Now, all the pieces that have divided them over there are beginning to fall into place. And it's very shocking news. You find it prophesied in the 17th chapter of Revelation and many other prophecies in the Bible. And it is going to trigger World War III. They feared the unthinkable, nuclear World War III. I want to read you what the Bible says about this World War III coming on. It's in Matthew 24, and I'm going to show you how the time is now. And I'll just begin in verse 21. It's a prophecy of Jesus Christ himself when he was here on earth. And speaking of this time that we're in now, he says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, neither this time, nor ever shall be." That's a time of trouble in the world. That'll be far greater than World War I or World War II. Much greater. "And except those days should be shortened, unless God Almighty himself intervenes supernaturally to cut it short, no flesh should be saved alive." It's talking not spiritual salvation, but saving humanity alive. In other words, every man, woman, child on earth would be snuffed out. You, your children, myself, all of us. Humanity would be erased. Let me tell you, my friends, for the first time in all history, and it only began 30 years ago with the production of the hydrogen bomb, 1,000 times more powerful than the atomic bomb that destroyed whole cities in Japan, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And that atom bomb that destroyed whole cities is only the spark that triggers a hydrogen bomb. A hydrogen bomb probably could completely destroy all New York City and its environs. And let me tell you that just off the coast of the Atlantic Ocean, and not too far off the coast, I happen to know this, are Russian submarines with enough missiles that can be fired from those submarines that could destroy, completely destroy, Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Washington, D.C., you might say the entire Atlantic seaboard. And the Russians have nuclear hydrogen bombs and missiles that could also be shot off from other points and could completely destroy Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Indianapolis, and coming on, Kansas City, Denver, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle. What are we going to have left if that happens? Now, in the sixth chapter, and verses 6 and 8 of Ezekiel, you will find it says that all of our cities are going to be destroyed at this time. In all your dwelling places, it says later in Ezekiel, your cities shall be destroyed, and then you shall know that I am the eternal God, says. Now, that expression is used in the prophecy of Ezekiel only to show the time of the second coming of Christ. Now, let me go on reading you in Matthew 24. Except those days should be shortened, no flesh should be saved alive. That great tribulation, that is the nuclear World War III. Drop down just a few verses to verse 29. Immediately after the great tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the powers of heaven shall be shaken. God will have such great supernatural powers that he will end it before all humanity is destroyed. We've come to the place where man has created the Frankenstein that can destroy himself. And mankind would be destroyed if God Almighty didn't intervene. Then, what's the next thing to happen? And then, says verse 30, the next verse, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes or nations of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and also in supreme authority, the supreme authority of God Almighty. Now, next I want you to notice, I want to go back to verse 14. What is to happen at the same time or just before this great tribulation? In Matthew 24, back here in verse 3, Jesus' disciples had been asking to tell them what will be the sign of his coming and the end of this world, not the end of the earth, but the end of this civilization, this world, the end of this world. Now, he talked about some other things that they had asked him first before he came to that, because they had asked him two questions. But in verse 14, he said, and this gospel of the kingdom of God, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Then it goes on, and immediately after that will come this great tribulation. Now let me tell you something. This program started back in 1934 in the first week in January. The Plain Truth started the first week in February of 1934. After 19 years, this program had been preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God coast to coast in the United States. That gospel had not been proclaimed in the world for 1900 years at that time. Then, the first week in 1953, exactly 1900 years from the time that the Apostle Paul said that that gospel had been suppressed and that gospel had not been proclaimed. Instead of proclaiming the gospel that Jesus proclaimed, he proclaimed the good news of the coming kingdom of God. Not a kingdom of men, not a kingdom of the United States or of Russia or of Europe, but the kingdom of God. A new world, a new system of living all together, a new entire world. That was the message. That was the gospel. The Apostle Paul wrote in 53 A.D. in the first chapter of the book of Galatians and verses 6 and 7, how they had already turned from that gospel. It had been suppressed to another gospel. And men had turned to a gospel of men, not the gospel of Christ, but their own gospel, those who were proclaiming it, claiming to be the ministers of Christ, claiming to represent Jesus Christ, as Jesus himself had said, many would come in his name as his ministers. But saying that Jesus is the Christ, oh yes, proclaiming Christ to the world, and yet deceiving the many. How could that be? You know, Jesus himself said in one case, "In vain do you even worship me," as he said, teaching for doctrines your own traditions and the commandments of men, and making the commandments of God of no effect by your tradition. And my friends, that's what this world has been doing for 1900 years. There's much preaching about Christ. There's much preaching about Christianity. It is not the Christianity of Christ. It is not the gospel that Jesus preached. It's a gospel of man about the messenger and not his message. It's not the real Christianity. It's masquerading under that name. And it's about time we look in the Bible, blow the dust off of it, as I've been saying now for the past 50 years on the air. And the things that I've been predicting that have come out of the Bible is the Word of God, and what he predicts is coming true. I haven't predicted those things out of my own mind or my own ideas. I only predict what I find in the Bible. You can find the same thing if you're willing to believe what Jesus said. Now, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He's the Word of God in person. The Bible is the same Word of God precisely, but in writing. It's precisely what he said. Now, when Jesus was on earth, he said that he was the Word of God, but he said that he had not spoken of his own ideas or what he thought, but he spoke only what God Almighty the Father had told him to speak. And in the same way, listen, my friends, I speak only what he has told me to speak. And he tells me right here in this word. And I don't speak anything else. And I've been saying that these things are going to come to pass. They have been coming to pass. And they're going to come to pass. How am I going to know what is going to come? How am I going to understand the Bible? You'll find in the Bible it says, "A good understanding have all they that do his commandments." Why is it that the Christian churches say the commandments of God are done away? They don't keep his commandments. They say the law is gone. The law of God, and the law of God is merely God's way of living. And all of our troubles in the world and all of the wars have come because of the way we are living. The Bible says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, the ends thereof are the ways of death." We've been living the way that seems right to men. Men have their ideas of morality, their ethics, their aspirations. Oh yes, and some of them coincide with some of the commandments of God. You know, they will admit that it is wrong to have another God before the true God, to take his name in vain, or to make idols and pictures of what God looks like. They will admit that you should honor your parents. They will admit that it's wrong to commit adultery, wrong to commit murder. In fact, that's capital crime in man's laws. Stealing, oh yes, that's a great crime too. That's one of the commandments of God. Lying, perjury, coveting, they will admit that. There's one commandment they will not accept. And that's the fourth commandment. And they will not accept it. That they follow the way of man, and the church that goes by the name of Christ has been doing that, my friends, for the past almost 1900 years. I ask you, blow the dust off your Bible. Look into it for yourself. See that these things are true. Your Bible says that all nations have been deceived by Satan the devil. And they have been. This word is being proclaimed. the gospel of the kingdom has been going to the world, and I've been carrying it there, and I've carried it before kings and before prime ministers and presidents and emperors all over this world. I have spoken to more heads of government in their own offices than any other man on the face of the earth today. And I don't think anybody can gainsay that. God Almighty has opened the doors, and I've been going through those doors. People may scoff. The things that God says are going to come to pass, and I just try to speak His word faithfully. That's what I do. Well, I'm running out of time, and I tell you, I want you to get a booklet that I have for you. Are we living in the last days? The last days of this world. This world is on its last legs. This world is about through. Are we living in the last days? I've announced this little booklet before. It's illustrated. Write in for that booklet. There's no charge, and there's not going to be any request for money or for contributions. Then, the Plain Truth magazine, I told you, it has grown now to one of the great mass circulation magazines of the world. Over 7 million copies circulation. Here is a recent issue. My editorial, Education for Life. What is education for life? Are the universities and the colleges of this world giving it? You need to read that. It's something to think about. Then here's another one, World Hunger versus Arms Buildup. And here are many charts and diagrams showing you the actual amount of money spent on armaments of the various nations of the world. Then we come to another one, Are You Prepared for What's Ahead? Showing what is prophesied and the events that are going to happen in the world and whether or not you are prepared. Now here's another article. What is a real Christian? Just what is a real Christian? Someone who has joined a church, who belongs to a church? What is the Bible definition? Are you a Christian? You need to know what the Bible says whether you're a real Christian or not. Then here's another one. How the sexual revolution on morals has affected you. And articles like that coming every month. There is something there you need. And by the way, on that line, why don't you write in for our free book? This is not a booklet, it's a whole book. And that is The Missing Dimension in Sex, and what is not being told in the books written on that subject in the world, and how God looks at it, and what the real truth about sex is. Now, it's a very frank book. It doesn't pull any punches. It tells the truth, but it tells it from God's point of view, and it's something that even your children ought to read and ought to know. That book is The Missing Dimension in Sex. Now, all you do, remember this booklet, Are We Living in the Last Days? A year's subscription, free, gratis, no charge, for the Plain Truth magazine. Just send your request to me, Herbert W. Armstrong, Pasadena, California. That's all the address you need. Herbert W. Armstrong, Pasadena, California, 91123. And request this free literature. So until next time, this is Herbert W. Armstrong. Goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow with Herbert W. Armstrong. For literature offered on this program, send your requests along with the call letters of this station to Herbert W. Armstrong.